Good morning. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. Just say that it's good to be in the house of the Lord again, to be able to exalt His name. We want you to turn with us. Our first text this morning will come from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 7. And we've got a lot to cover this morning in this. I'm not sure how the Lord's going to lead this. This might wind up turning into a two-part message. Because He's just really given me a lot on this. The title of the message this morning is Heaven on Earth. Heaven on Earth. And with the help of the Lord this morning, I want to try to show to you how that you have a little bit of heaven in you if you have Christ in you. Amen. So we don't have to just look forward to going to heaven. I'm not by any means saying that we shouldn't want to go to heaven. But we should also realize and understand that if you're saved and you have the salvation of Christ, you should enjoy the time that you have on this earth and relish the time that you have on this earth and the gift and use the gifts that God has given you, as Sarah has said. So stand with me, if you would, for 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 7. And the first thing that we're going to focus on is the gold. We know how the Bible declares in Revelation 21 that the streets of heaven are made of gold and they're clear as glass. So 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. So we see here that your gold is the trying of your faith. Now to get gold good and pure, it has to be tried through the fire. And when you try gold or silver or any precious metals in fire, what happens is you heat it to a certain temperature and all the imperfections, all the impurities come to the top. And then whoever is trying that or finishing that gold or silver or bronze or whatever it is, they take like a ladle or something and they skim all those impurities off the top. And then they let it sit for a while longer and more impurities come to the top. And they skim that off. And they have to keep skimming that off. And that's in essence is like our life and our faith and our walk with Christ. Though we are tried with many trials and we face many things in our life, and sometimes it seems like it's more than we can bear. It seems like it's more than we can handle. Though we're going through those things, we're going through those things so that God can burn out all the impurities. So that He can take His ladle and skim off the top, amen, all the imperfections that are in us. Because, let's face it, we're flesh, we have imperfections. I know it's hard for y'all to believe that I would have any, but that's a joke, you can laugh. But we all have imperfections. We all have impurities because of our flesh. But what we have to do is be thankful that God is still trying us. Be thankful that God is still purifying us. Be thankful that God is still working with us. See, the person that's trying that gold, he could get frustrated after a while and say, I'm tired of scooping this off of here every day. I'm tired of the same old thing. I'm tired of every day I come in here and it's the same old walk. It's the same old day every day. I come in here, there's more dross on top of here that I got to scoop off until I get it pure, until it's perfect, until I finally come in here and there's no more dross to scoop off. Well, God could get like that with us too, couldn't He? Wouldn't you get fed up after a while of the same old thing? And I'm not trying to paddle y'all this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand that we don't have to just... Listen, we get so lost in wanting to get to heaven that we're missing the blessings that we have down here. We're missing the things that God's doing for us down here. We're missing the wonderful works that He has for us down here. We're missing the fact that He's purifying us. He's cleaning us up. He's taking out all the imperfections and getting us ready so that we can make it into heaven. In Psalms 19, verses 9 through 11, The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So if we'll keep His words, if we'll keep His commands, if we'll keep the things that He's doing, that's like gold to us. Pure gold. And we can have that gold, and we can relish in that gold. We can obtain that gold. I'm not talking about maybe like gold in my finger, but the love and the blessings of God are as pure gold. Listen to me, church. It's more precious than all the gold that they used to keep in Fort Knox. I'm telling you, what I've got in Christ Jesus is worth more than all the money can buy. You can't purchase what I have and what I hope all you have. And if you don't, I've got news for it, good news for you at the end of the sermon as well. But this is good news for us. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. There's a great reward for keeping His commandments. And it's not just the reward of going to heaven. It's the reward of living a good life here. It's the reward of the things that He blesses us with daily. What does the Scripture say? It says His blessings are new every day. Every day. There's something new for us. There's something different for us. In Psalms 119, verse 127, it says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. How many of us can say that this morning? How many of us can say that we love His commandments more than gold? But we should. Right? His commandments should be a blessing to us. It tells us how we ought to walk. How we ought to live. You say, well, it's just too hard and I don't know why. I hear people say this all the time, and maybe you've said this before. I don't know. Maybe you're even saying it this morning. Why would a God that loves me so much force me to do certain things? Why would he subject me to these rules? Well, your parents love you, and they have certain rules for you to follow. The school that you go to, they care about you and love you, and they have certain rules for you to follow. Your job, I don't know if they love you or not, but they have certain rules for you to follow. Right? You have rules. It doesn't matter what you're a part of. It doesn't matter what you're affiliated with. You have rules. And if you don't have rules, see, if He doesn't love us, He wouldn't chastise us. He wouldn't show us direction we need to go in. He wouldn't show us how we need to walk and teach us how we need to talk and the things that we need to do. He would just turn us loose and say, go do whatever you want to do because I don't care. Do you see what I'm saying there? I don't care. Do what you want to do. I don't love you. I don't care what you do. But when we care, when He cares and He loves us so much, He has to tell us what's the right way to go because He doesn't want us to get hurt. Amen. The second thing that we think about when we think about heaven is the white robes. And this one was a hard one for me at first to really absorb this, but God finally gave it to me. And in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and this is very familiar scripture. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now can you see there that there's something in that last part? If ye be willing and obedient, then these things will happen. But you have to want it. Right? You have to put forth some effort. Right? It doesn't just come to you. You know, somebody said, I can't remember who said it, but somebody said that, you know, God don't come by with no magic wand and bing you on the head and say, okay, everything's going to be fine from here on out. You have to desire it. You have to want it. You have to work for it. There's a labor to it. That's not a hard labor. It's not something that's going to cost you a whole lot. But you have to want it. You have to have a desire for it. But if you do that, then your sins, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. See, we don't have to wait to get up there to have this pure white garment. Because the Bible says that when His blood was applied to our life, He cleansed us then. See, when Christ looks at you, He doesn't see a blue shirt or a green blouse or an orange one or a yellow one or a purple one. Right? When He looks at you, all He sees, and here's the good part about it, He doesn't even see your imperfections. Because if you have the blood of Christ applied to your life, when He looks at you, all He sees is white. Because though though your sins be as scarlet, be red, blood red, He will make them white as snow. He purifies you. He cleanses you. He takes all the impurity away from you. That's good news this morning, church. It's good to know that He loves us that much, that He cares that much for us. In Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 10, it says, many shall be purified and made white, and again, tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. We are the wise. God has given us wisdom. When He saved us, He gave us wisdom. He drew us to Him. He gave us an opportunity. And we wisely chose to follow Him. We wisely made the decision to live for Him. If you will, to die for Him. Amen? And when I say that, I mean die out to the flesh. Give up this flesh. Give up the carnality of your life. And begin to live a spiritual life. A life that He can help you with and to guide you in. Yes, you're going to continue to be tried. Yes, you're going to continue to face things. Yes, you're going to have obstacles in your life. But know this morning. You're not going through it alone. He's with you. We'll get more into that here in a minute, hopefully, if He allows me to get that far. And actually, I'm getting further than I thought I was going to already. But He guides us. He cleanses us. He tries us. And He keeps us in the place that we need to be. So we already have gold. Maybe not gold like that you would like to hold in your hand, or that you would like to show your friends and say, look how much I've got. How much do you have? See, we can't compare this type of gold that in that manner. You can't take this spiritual gold out of you and say, look how much I have, and I'd like to compare it to you. Because you're already in the wrong place. You're already in the wrong frame of mind. And your gold is tarnished. Amen. We already have the white robes, because if God has cleansed us of our sins, that's what God sees as white. Purity. Imperfection. The next thing is jewels. How many of you remember in the Revelations 21 it tells how the walls are made of 12 different types of jewels. 12 different types of precious stones. In Malachi 3,16-18. And if I get to going too fast for y'all, and you need these scriptures, see me after church. I'll be more than glad to give them to you. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened unto their and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." We are His jewels. You know, some of you women, you just love your diamond ring, right? And you look for every opportunity to show them off. You know, you especially when it's new, right? I guess I'm wrong. None of y'all care anything about your diamond rings, right? So I'm going to go ahead and get the offering plate out. And I'm going to pass it around and all of you can put them in there, right? You like your diamond rings, right? Okay, I thought so. And when you, especially when it's new, you know, you're walking around to your friends and you're looking for every reason just to show it off. You're putting it all up to your mouth. And you'll do everything that you can to get somebody's attention. "Oh, did you get a new ring?" "Oh, yes, I did." "Thank you for noticing." All right. You've gone completely out of your way to show it. But thanks for noticing. And you're proud of it. Huh? Especially an engagement ring, right? You're proud of that. You want to show it off and you want people to see it. Can I tell you, God looks at you the same way? He's proud of you. And He looks for every opportunity to show you off. And He tries to show you to the world. And He tries to put you out there in ways that they can see you and see your love for Him and see your care for Him and see the walk that you have for Him and the talk that you have for Him. And sometimes when He pushes us out there, we're a little tarnished. And they don't see us as they should. Alright? So we need to really work on that and keep ourselves clean. You know, they got that stuff at jewelry cleaner, and you know, Debbie used to take her rings and she put it in there, let it set overnight, and then she'd get it out the next morning, clean it all up, make sure it looked real pretty. Alright? We need to get ourselves in the Word, delve ourselves into the Word, because that's our cleaner. That's our jewelry cleaner. And get ourselves clean and get ourselves pure and get ourselves really shined up for Christ, so that when He puts us out there and He has that opportunity to push us out into the world and say, "Okay, now go out there and let them see my jewels that I'm very proud of, that I'm excited about." He's excited about you, church. He's proud of you. He wants you to be out there in the forefront. He wants people to see you and to look at you and say, "Wow, look at that. There's something special about that jewel. It stands out more than everything else." That's what He expects of us. And that's where we can be if we want to. The next thing is crown. In, let's see here, Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2, 6, verses 6 through 8. It says, But one in a certain place testifies, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So this is talking about man. If you go on into the scripture more, it starts talking about Christ. But a lot of people get this confused and think that this scripture is talking about Christ, but it's not. It's talking about man. And it says, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor." You've been crowned with glory and honor. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to get a crown. Yes, there's a crown waiting for you there, but you've been crowned with glory and with honor. You know what made you? I know what you're thinking this morning. You're saying, "Well, I'm not worthy of that." You were made worthy of that when you accepted Christ as your Savior. It made you worthy of that. It made you worthy to wear that crown. I know that it's hard for us to understand, and it's hard for us to realize, and it's hard for us to comprehend that God would look upon us as gold, or God would look upon us as jewels, or that we're worthy and deserving of wearing a white robe, or that we're worthy and deserving of wearing a crown of glory and honor. But I'm telling you, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you are worthy of all those things. Not because of you. Let's get that clear this morning. And not because of me, but because of Christ. Because of His blood. His pure, undefiled blood that He shed on Calvary's hill so that you could be worthy. I don't know. Y'all just not as getting as excited as I was about this. But it's awesome that He loves us that much. It's awesome that we can have these things, that we can experience these things and realize these things and understand these things while we walk here. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience them. We can experience some of that here. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't want to go to heaven, because hopefully that's all of our desire, is to make it there. But I'm saying enjoy what you have while you're here. Don't get so focused on getting to heaven that you lose track of the blessings that God is blessing you with here. Now here's the best part of all of this. Well, first let somebody tear the building down. In Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 4, again on the crown. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Don't forget His benefits, church. His benefits are every day, and as Ricky just said, they are many. I'm just touching on a few. I'm just scratching the surface here this morning. His benefits are many. "Who giveth all thine iniquities," or "who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Again, you've been crowned. You have a crown of loving kindness and tender mercy. But how many people are seeing that crown? How many people, when they look at us, they see loving kindness and tender mercy? All right. How many of you at work have maybe been going through a bad day or experiencing something at work? Maybe things have been a little rough. Maybe you've been a little bit pressured. Right? That forgot to show your crown. Maybe left your crown at your desk or in your office, or hid it under a roll of carpet somewhere. Right? Or maybe hid it inside an airplane or something. I don't know. But sometimes We let the pressures of life cause us to hide our crown of loving kindness and tender mercies. Right? But why? Why? We need to stay focused. Stay focused on Him. Show forth that crown. Show forth the jewels. Show forth the gold. Show forth that robe of righteousness. Show forth that crown that He's given us. All the things that He's blessed us with, the benefits that He's blessed us with. Let's share that with the lost and dying world. You can't give it to them, but you can show it to them. You can let them see it. Now let's get to the very best part of this. We all want to go to heaven to see Jesus. Right? The streets of gold, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the mansion that He's prepared for you. All those things are just bonuses to me. I really could care less what the streets are like up there. I don't think I'm going to pay much attention to it. I'm glad that He went to all the trouble that He went through to do that for me, but it doesn't matter. But what does matter to me is Jesus. I want to be with Him. Now, while I can't see Him face to face here, there are some things that I want us to recognize and understand this morning, and that is that He dwells with us. Amen. He dwells with us. Wherever we are, He's with us. Amen.
Right,
so John 14, verses 15 through 21. Very first verse tells us that we have to do something. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Pretty simple, right? And you can try to chop that up if you want to, but there's no way of getting around it. If you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He will dwell in us if we keep His commandments, if we love Him. He's there with us, church. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience Him. We can experience Him here. And should be experiencing Him here. And if you're not this morning, I would ask you, what's the problem? There's only one reason why He wouldn't dwell in you this morning. And that's because you don't love Him. And you're not keeping His commandments. You say, that's awful hard this morning, preacher. Well, it's the only way I know how to do it, because the Word is hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. But you can make it easier. You can make it a lot easier on yourself if you just accept Him. Allow Him to take over. Again, in Ephesians 3, I'll tell you there's an abundance of scriptures in here that I could go to that show this. But these are the ones the Lord gave me. Ephesians 3, 11 through 21 says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not, at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, again, in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now in Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. But verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Being steadfast. Being unmovable in your love. Showing not only your love towards Christ, because if Christ loves you and you love Christ, then you'll love your fellow man. The Bible says, how can you love God whom you've not seen and not love your brother whom you have seen? Somebody that's right there in front of you, and you've never seen God, but you love Him, you don't have the love of Christ in you if you feel that way. The Bible tells us, and you're saying this morning, you're thinking to yourself, you're thinking, well, I've got people that just have done me wrong, and the Bible tells us what to do about that. It says to pray for those that despitefully use you, that have done you wrong. Man, it's easy for me to pray for my wife. Well, sometimes. But I love my wife, so it's easy for me to pray for her. I love my daughter, it's easy for me to pray for her. But what about that person at work that's always trying to go behind my back and make me look bad to my boss? Do I care about them, or do I always look for ways to get them back? Hopefully we're not doing that. Hopefully we're praying for them, because they need our prayers. People are dying and going to hell because the church has quit praying for them because they're upset with them about something. That ain't the way God instructed His church. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I haven't been saved and I don't understand all this. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I've just never had the opportunity to get this Christ that you're talking about, to receive this Christ that you're talking about, or to have this blood applied to my life that you're talking about. Well, in Revelations 3:20, I got good news for you this morning. Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So the good news is this morning, the word has been delivered to you. And He's knocking this morning. And you say, how do you know He's knocking this morning? Because His word doesn't go out void. I feel in my spirit this morning that He's knocking on somebody's door. Now, the choice is yours. The choice is totally yours. You can accept it this morning. You can say this morning, I want this Jesus that He's talking about. Or maybe you're here this morning and you just don't have as deep of a walk as you once had, or as deep of a walk as you'd like to have. Well, the door's open to you this morning too. The good news is the door's open to anybody. To all. Right? Let me read it to you again. I don't think you're all getting it this morning. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door. So anybody hears His voice and opens the door. He will come in and dwell with them. He will sup with them and they will sup with Him. The opportunity is here for you this morning. If you don't know Him and you want to get to know Him. If you do know Him but you just don't have as deep a walk as you once had. And if you do know Him and you just want more. He's knocking this morning, church. He's knocking. And the choice is up to you. You can open the door to Him, or you can leave it closed. Nobody's going to force you to do anything this morning. It's your choice. Somebody get a song together. This went a whole lot faster than I thought it would, but God knows what He's doing. And He knows what you need this morning. If you're here this morning, you need it. If you feel Him knocking on your door, if you're out...